Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. That's a good device of Rinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Chigar Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dwai Tigadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Rinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radha Kundigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannathpuri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamai Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Rinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Garanga. All glorious to Sri Prabhupada. Gauravani Pachani Nivasis and Ivani Vaskatya Desatan, Ivanayam Shri Guru Shri Utapa, the Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishnavamstha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sadhuna, Sadvoitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Bhavita Shri Vishakam Vitamstha, Panchakalpa Chubhishta, Kibasan Vivacham, So it's May 31st, 2015 in Tuaco, New Jersey, and we're going to be looking at balancing material and spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada talks about how there's two kinds of activities, conditional and constitutional. And he says here that even if you're a devotee, you still have to follow the laws, take care of your body, right? There's those activities. And then there's our fully Krishna-conscious activities. So we have our conditional activities and our constitutional activities. The activities taking care of the body, the family, the house, and so forth. And the activities as far as directly serving Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada says, generally, these parallel one another. Generally, they're in harmony. In fact, the whole system of varna and ashrama is meant to be one in which the activities, ashram has to do with the life cycle, varna with the career, that generally these activities will be in harmony with our spiritual life. But sometimes they oppose one another. So we're going to look at four possible problems. Difficulty with absorbing ourselves in the transcendental, seeing our conditional life as separate from service, pressure for things opposed to spirituality, and the lack of time or prioritizing. So this is the first one, being absorbed in the transcendental. And this may be, our life seems very material. You say, I can't remember Krishna. You know, I can only remember Krishna if I go to Radhakund and sit there, you know, just absorbed in chanting japa. The second thing is life is service. So this is, we may think, well, you know, I have my spiritual life and my material life, and I'm supposed to be detached from my material life, so let me just become hard-hearted. Let me become hard-hearted to my own physical, mental, intellectual, emotional needs. Let me become hard-hearted to the needs of my family because that's all just material. And then pressure for things. Someone asked me about this. We were in Jersey City today. Somebody played with the volume back there. We may get pressure for things that are opposed to Krishna consciousness, and that pressure may come from our co-workers. Somebody was saying today, what do I do if I have a job where people expect me to go out drinking with the customers? We may get, the pressure may come from our family members who are not devotees. You know, why don't you eat these things with onions and garlic? We may get pressure from other students if we're in school. And the pressure may come from ourselves also. You know, maybe we had some past bad habits that pressure ourselves. And then lack of time, lack of prioritizing, going to work early, coming home late, wasting time with material entertainment, just a lot of demands. You know, you have to mow the lawn and you have to fix the plumbing, and then Where's your time to give to Krishna? So sometimes our life might feel like this. All right, so we're going to look at some possible solutions. Now, we're not going to pretend that these are the only solutions. I'm sure that many of you will have some more of your own. And it's not necessarily that all of our solutions here will work for everybody, but hopefully you can pick up some ideas here that you can use in your own life, either directly or that can inspire you to come up with your own solutions. So again, the first thing we're going to look at is transcendental absorption. We get this question a lot. How do I think of Krishna all day, even when I'm going to work, right? When I'm taking care of the house, when I'm going to school. So what a wonderful verse here, Bhagavad Gita 4:24. Oops. Did that work? No, it didn't work. I'm going to have to go back and back again. Sorry. Come on, Krishna. Okay, so in Bhagavad Gita 4:24, Krishna talks about total absorption, where the person making the offering that's being made, the result of the offering, everything is merged into transcendence. This is our goal in spiritual life, where there's no difference. Many times when people ask me, you know, how do you balance material and spiritual life? Part of the answer is that you don't have a material life. And that doesn't mean you don't brush your teeth or you don't cook. It means that everything you do is merged into transcendence. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport here talks about when we use matter in the service of the Lord, it regains its spiritual quality. Now please look very closely here at what Srila Prabhupada is saying. He's saying when our mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that means consciousness of Krishna, it is in samadhi or trance. And anything done in that consciousness is sacrificed to the Supreme. So once we're conscious of Krishna, anything we do in that consciousness is transcendental, even if it may appear ordinary. And Prabhupada gives this example in his purport to 12.2. Now, some of these are obvious. You're chanting, you're hearing about Krishna. But what about going to the marketplace? Prabhupada used the word samadhi. We often think of samadhi means that you don't notice anything else. We have when Maharaj Parikit went to see the sage Shamakarishi. You all know this story?
Yes.
And he said to Shamakarishi, give me some water. And Shamakarishi didn't answer because he didn't hear him. So that kind of samadhi in Astanga Yoga is preceded by Pratyahara, where all the senses are withdrawn from their objects. It's almost like being in deep sleep. You don't see anything, you don't hear anything, etc. Now, could you go to the marketplace in that kind of samadhi?
No.
So what kind of samadhi is Srila Prabhupada talking about here? He's talking about a samadhi of love. Now, we've all had that experience. I assume everyone here has loved somebody?
Yes.
Okay? Or something, maybe. You love your phone or your car. Now, when we love someone or something, we are naturally absorbed in our object of love, even when we're doing other things. That is the samadhi of bhakti yoga. And in this way, one is absorbed in consciousness, in awareness of Krishna, even when one is doing everything else. And again, as Krishna explains, anything we do in that consciousness is transcendental. It's not material anymore. As soon as you're conscious of Krishna, it doesn't matter whether you're driving, whether you're working, whether you're changing your baby's diapers, it doesn't matter. It's all transcendental. And here in Prabhupada's purport to 18.9 of the Bhagavad Gita, he says something very interesting and perhaps astonishing. He says, even if you're working in a factory, Is a factory a very spiritual place? Someone asked me earlier today, I work in the financial sector. You know, that's not really very spiritual. How do I make my work spiritual? I said, well, Arjuna was on the battlefield. That wasn't very spiritual either. Can you imagine? Okay, we're going to have yoga classes. We're all, let's go to Iraq, you know. Have our yoga classes right in the middle of the battlefield. But that's Krishna's instruction. So this kind of samadhi of bhakti yoga transcendentalizes everything. So how do we get in that transcendental consciousness? And this is explained by Krishna throughout the Bhagavad Gita. We had such fortune to be able to talk about this last night at 22nd Avenue. So there are four chapters in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna talks about how we can become absorbed in Him through the ordinary things of this world. Does anyone know those chapters? Chapter 10. What else?
Chapter 9.
Chapter 9. Somebody else. Chapter 10, chapter 9. What else?
7.
And one more?
15.
7, 9, 10, 15 is where Krishna talks about, I am this, I am this, I am this, you can find me in this world. So what do you see here? Where Krishna says, I am one. I'm the taste of pizza. Well, he doesn't say pizza, but he does say, Rasoham Apsukanteya, he says, I'm the taste of water. And actually, that's the taste of anything. Because any taste involves liquid. You know that, right? You did that experiment when you were in elementary school where you dried off your tongue and then put salt on it and you couldn't taste it. If you didn't, you really missed out in life. Go home and try it. So we can't taste anything without liquid in our mouth. It's the same with all of our senses, right? Our eyes have liquid, our ears have wax, our nose has liquid, our skin is moist. Without this liquid, we cannot experience any pleasure. And the liquid that allows for this pleasure, that is Krishna. And the taste of everything is Krishna. Okay, what else do we have here?
Surya Sashanka, sun and the moon.
The sun and the moon. I am the light of the sun and the moon. Somebody else? What?
Intelligence.
The intelligence. Our intelligence. Yes. What else?
Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Everything is working in my direction.
Maya Dakshina Prakriti. Yes. But let's get specific here. Somebody. Someone in the back. Hey, in the back. Yes. What?
The strength
of the strong. Yes.
Air.
He says, it purifies. I'm the wind. He says, I'm the air. Something else you see here? Huh? Destruction, yes.
Beauty,
yes. Of seasons I am?
Fire.
The heat in fire. And I am spring, I am flower-bearing spring, and the light in fire. My dear friends, we are already conscious of these things. Are you already aware that there's heat in this room?
Yes.
Yes. Did everybody think about heat sometime today?
Yes.
Did all you think about light sometime today? Did you think about taste sometime today? Did you think about water?
Yes.
Did you think about wind?
Yes.
Did you think about these things already today? Everybody think about those things today?
Yes.
Who thought about at least one of those things today? All right. Did you use your intelligence today? Who used their intelligence today? Only a few of you. Okay. That's sad. Saving it for later. Right? When we do these things, whenever we use our intelligence, when we use our strength, we use our ability, when we see, when we notice the heat in our bodies. Who digested some food today? Anybody here digest any food today? Some of you have very interesting lives. Okay, so Krishna says, I'm the fire of digestion. He says, I'm joined with the air of life to digest the four kinds of food stuff. We are already aware of these things, correct? We pay attention to our digestion, we pay attention to the taste, we pay attention to our intelligence, to our ability. We're already giving these things our attention. They're already in our consciousness. We just have to change the way they're in our consciousness. They're already there. That this heat is Krishna, this light is Krishna. So yesterday we talked about heat, today we'll talk about light. So we have light in this room. We have some light coming from the sun through the windows. Krishna says, I am the light of the sun. And pretty interesting, it's now 7:10 at night, and it's a very cloudy sky, and there's just a few windows in this room. Most of this room is walls. And yet there's enough light coming in from the sun that we can see everything. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And even the lights from the light bulbs and these things are ultimately from the sun. Electricity coming from fossil fuels, that means plants. Plants are, of course, getting their energy by photosynthesis. Even if it's hydroelectric power, that's from the heat of the sun that evaporates the water and causes it to come down and so forth. So this is all from the light of the sun. Now, let's become aware of the light in this room. Can you become aware? Okay. Turn your awareness to the light. What are some qualities of light? It allows us, well, to see. It allows us to get knowledge, to know what's going on. And isn't that what Krishna does? He says, Gyanadipena Bhashvata, he lights up our heart with knowledge. In fact, we talk about spiritual knowledge, we call it enlightenment. It's a very easy thing to think of whenever we notice the light. Light is also very welcoming. If you're having a guest come to your house, what do? You turn on the lights. And this is our aratik ceremony. Gopi Pranayapu told me the most important element of the aratik ceremony is the lamp. So there's aware of this light. What is Krishna doing? Krishna says, I am the light. Krishna is welcoming us. Whenever we see light, we can meditate on, this is Krishna welcoming us. Please come home. And light is used for festivals, correct? Every culture, as far as I know, every society on the planet uses light for festivity. Fireworks, candles, so forth. And it says in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, that in the spiritual world, every day is a... what? Festival. Every day is a festival. And we might think, oh, that's a lot of work if you manage the festivals here. But there it's all lila. Without work. So whenever we see light, we can think about how Krishna is full of playfulness, full of festivity. So just such a simple thing. We're really not talking about a lot of effort on our part to be aware that the light in the room is Krishna. Can you have that awareness for a moment? Now? And this, if we do this throughout the day, in whatever circumstance we're in, we will be Krishna
conscious.
And if you are Krishna conscious, any activity done in that consciousness of Krishna is yajna. Okay, so this is looking at Krishna consciousness through the material elements. There's also a lot in the Bhagavatam. In the second canto, there's three chapters that describe the universal form. And how we can understand, you know, the trees or the hairs, the mountains or the bones. So many ways in which we can become conscious of the Lord with the things we're already conscious of. Changing the way we are conscious of them. It's not really adding something, it's changing the way that we're aware of them. And then, of course, we can become Krishna conscious by chanting Hare Krishna. Now, this chanting Hare Krishna can even be done in the mind. And there's so many other mantras you can chant about Krishna. I had a wonderful experience the other day. I had a doctor's appointment in Manhattan. And when I was walking through the streets, I was chanting very loudly and very enthusiastically in my mind. And it changed everything. It changed how I perceived the people on the street. And it even changed how people responded to me. It was quite interesting. I wasn't in a sari in Tilak, which I usually am in. And I wasn't visibly, audibly chanting to anyone. But so many people, when they walked past me, they just smiled and they would say hello and they were friendly with me and they asked me questions. I got a chance to talk about Krishna to a lot of people. It was quite fascinating. And everything became different. Srila Prabhupada says in the 20th chapter of Krishna book, that the materialists see the world as very aggressive, but to the devotees, everything is very happily situated. And one can be chanting this Hare Krishna mantra in one's mind. anywhere and everywhere. Prabhupada would say, when you're in your car, when you're on the bus, on the train, when you're walking, he said, what is the big difficulty? So many people go through life with some song going through their head, yes? Why not this one? At this. Somehow it's not. There we go. And we can also think about Krishna's form. Prabhupada said we worship the deity. Why do we worship the deity? So we can meditate on the form of the deity. The deity is supposed to make an impression in our mind. And I'm sure many of you have altars in your home, correct? So it shouldn't just be some ritual you do. Okay, I've done my little puja ritual, now I gotta work. But actually meditating on the form of the Lord, in the deity form, in some picture. And nowadays with modern technology, you know, you can have pictures of the Lord on your phone, right? Anywhere you go, on your desk. And find some painting, some deity of the Lord that you really find attractive. And make a habit of meditating on that form of the Lord within your mind. And then, of course, we can meditate on Krishna's pastimes. Even the things in this world, you know, seeing some mother with her child, and we can remember Mother Yasoda, and some pregnant lady, remember how Krishna appeared to Maharaj Bhrigu. You know, somebody advertising clothing, you can think about Krishna giving Draupadi an unlimited sari. If you see anybody doing some expert dancing on the subway the other day, there were these people asking for money by dancing in the subway. And I'll tell you, they were really good. They were really, really good. And then you can think of, well, Krishna dances on the heads of Kaliya's serpent. I mean, that's a lot better than anything they can do in the subway. Because the hoods are moving and they're slippery and Kali is breathing fire. And he wasn't really cooperating with the dance. Even you see a naughty child, you can remember Krishna's naughtiness. So many ways to think of Krishna. Now we're going to look at our second area where we see our life as service. So our first area was we connect everything in our life. We spiritualize the material side of our life by always being conscious of Krishna. But we might still think, well, that's the material side of my life. I'm supposed to be detached from it and give it up as quickly as possible. And yeah. So how to see our life as service? First of all, most of us need to be engaged in the world. As Prabhupada's saying here, it's far more dangerous to try to give up everything in the world than to act as service. And, you know, frankly, we've seen this practically. We've seen that most people who say, all right, I'll just be a renunciate, I won't have any job, I won't act in the world, they can't maintain it. It's just what we see practically, over and over and over again. So most of us do have some desires in the world. Far better to use our desires in service than to just simply deny that they exist. Because you know what? If you try to deny that they exist, they'll come out. And they'll say, hi, here I am. And then you won't be able to do anything with them. And this is the mood. This is just a little sample here, but I would really suggest, if you want to meditate on your life as service, read and sing and learn the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has so many songs where he talks about how he sees his whole life as service. O Lord, nothing further remains that may be called mine, declaring that my wealth, family members, home, and wife are truly yours. I continue as a mere servant to dutifully protect them. For the purpose of your service, I will earn money and bear the expense of maintaining your household. So many years ago, I remember reading, we used to have a Sankirtan newsletter, and there was an article written by one sannyasi, and he said, whenever you go to a Shastra class, you should try to learn something that you can apply to your life. And I thought, oh, that's a very good idea. So the next morning I went, and well, the person giving the class was the temple commander. And his whole class was about that the way to become Krishna conscious is you have to surrender to your immediate authority in the temple. So the whole class was really about, if you want to be Krishna conscious, you have to do what I say. That's what the class was about. And we didn't live in the temple. We lived a couple blocks away. This was actually on 55th Street in Manhattan. We lived on 57th Street. And I was thinking, all right, I'm supposed to try to apply this class to my life, but this class has nothing to do with me. I don't live in the temple ashram. I don't have any immediate authority in the temple to listen to. So it got to be toward the end of the class, and then I thought, all right, but I decided that I was going to somehow or other apply this class to myself. How am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And when I thought that way, Krishna very kindly reciprocated with me and said, oh, it's your husband. And I was like, And it really opened a whole door in my thinking. You know, I'll just tell you frankly, until that time I thought, oh, my home, my family, that's all material, and I just have to have it because I'm so fallen, and if I was really advanced, I would just be, you know, full-time for the mission as a renunciate. And after that day, I realized, you know, my home is also a temple. My home is also a temple. And my husband can be the temple president, and I can be the temple commander. And my kids can be the brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, you know. And there really isn't any difference. There really isn't any difference. It's not that just if you give money to the temple, that's service. And if you have money to take care of your household, that's illusion. If you see your household as Krishna's, then the money you earn to take care of your household is also devotional service. If you see the members of your household as residents of the temple, then taking care of them is just as much service as taking care of the ashram residents, because they are like that. It's a question of changing your vision. And I call this the secret agent principle. All right, so let's say you want to be a secret agent for America. So you don't just go into Russia and say, hi, I'm a secret agent for the U.S. Right? You have a cover. Correct? You all know what that is? Hopefully many of you here wanted to be a secret agent. Otherwise, you're not going to be interested in this idea. But, you know, you go in and you get a cover. You become a car salesman or something. Right? Like, I know devotees who preach in areas of the world where it's illegal. And they don't go there just, we're a devotee. They go in, you know, I'm an English professor or something like that. You all understand that?
Yes.
All right, so this is really radical, folks. There's a nice verse from Rupa Goswami. He says, Sarvapadi vinirmuktan tadparatena nirmala rishikesha rishikena nam sevanam bhakti uchite. Some of you have heard this?
Yes.
Sarva upadi vinir muktam. Get rid of all your upadis. So, starting today, we're getting rid of all our upadis. I am no longer anybody's daughter, anybody's son, anyone's husband, anyone's wife, anyone's mother, anyone's father, anyone's employer, anyone's employee. I'm not a citizen of any country. Finished. I have one designation only. Okay, phones, folks, put them on vibrate. If you don't know how to do that, please turn to your neighbor and say, excuse me, can you show me how to put my phone on vibrate? All right? If you want them to make music, they have to match. Okay. Otherwise, please put them on vibrate. So I only have one designation. What is my one designation?
Servant of Krishna.
Servant of Krishna. Well, we don't like servant very much. Servant isn't very attractive. Any of you here willing to tell your children to grow up and become servants? No. Right? Did any of your parents say that to you? When you grow up, I hope you become a servant? Okay, so let's make it something a little bit more attractive. What about employee? Is that all right? Can we be Krishna's employee? All right. Even Lord Chaitanya wants to be Krishna's employee. He says, Prema Dana Bina Vyartha Daridra Jivana Dasa Kori Bhetan Mori Deha Prema Dana. If you're Bengali, I apologize for butchering your language. So Lord Chaitanya says, prema dana, without the wealth, the money, dana is money, without the money of prema dana, vina, without daridra jivana, you have a very poor life. So dasa kori, I'm applying to be your employee. Betan mori, and I want a salary. Betan is salary. Sometimes we say devotees shouldn't ask for a salary, but Lord Chaitanya is asking for a salary. Dasa kori betan mori, deha, give me prema dana, give me the wealth of love. So we can also become Krishna's employees. And what is he selling?
Prema.
He's selling love. Nice company. Would you like to work for this company?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So we work for Krishna's company, and it's not just multinational, it's, you know, multi-planetary. And he's selling love. And that's now our only designation. We have no other designation. Who are you? I am an employee in Krishna's company, and I am a salesperson for love of God. Okay, but you can't go around telling people this, because you're in the illusion area, and they won't appreciate it. So you have to have a cover. So you have a cover that I work in the financial district on Wall Street. You have a cover that I'm so-and-so's husband, and you have a cover that I'm so... That's just your cover. It's not who you are. Then everyone in the world, either they're a co-worker in the love of God family, and boy, are you fortunate if your family members and co-workers in the financial district are also co-workers in the love of God company, then you've really hit the jackpot. So they're either co-workers in the love of God company, or they may be suppliers to the love of God company. That's really fortunate if you have some of those people in your life. Or they're customers in the love of God company. Or they're potential customers. Right now they shop in the Illusion Mall. And you'd like them to shop at the love of God company. And everyone in our life is in one of these categories. They're a co-worker, they're a supplier, they're a customer, or they're a potential customer. And I deal with everyone like that. And I have a cover that I'm someone's daughter and somebody's son and somebody's husband and somebody's wife. But that's not what's going on. That's not what's going on. Now, what changes here? What changes here, my dear friends, is who you're trying to please and how you're trying to please them. Then you're no longer, this is going to sound really radical to many of you, but I'm telling you, this will open up your life to such happiness and such freedom that one cannot even imagine. Stop trying to please your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your boss, your government, and start trying to please Krishna. He's the boss. Now, Krishna will be pleased if you're nice to everybody, yes?
Yes.
Will Krishna be pleased if you're mean to anybody?
No.
No. Will Krishna be pleased if you do your duty?
Yes.
Yes. So please don't worry that if you stop trying to please your wife, she'll hate you all the time. It's not going to happen. But even the times that she's not pleased with you, you know what? It won't matter anymore because you're not trying to please her. You're trying to please Krishna. Now, Lord Chaitanya wants us to work in the world. He doesn't want all of us to just renounce the world. And this is what we would like. Wouldn't we like enlightened beings running the governments of the world? Would we like enlightened beings running the universities, the governments, the businesses? Would we like self-realized people running Monsanto? Would that be nice? Yes? Some of you aren't sure? So we have service to do in this world for Krishna. If we work for Krishna's love of God company, he wants us to be working in Walmart or working in the bank or working in a school or a hospital. He wants his devotees throughout the world, spreading love of God everywhere. If the devotees are all on a mountaintop, how will Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement get all over the world? Now this is the key I was talking about, the secret agent principle. That Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says in the purport to this section from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which by the way is about Gopinath Patanayaka, he says, we always remember, this is my job description, this is my identity, I am Krishna's employee. And even if I'm doing so-called material things, or I'm renounced, what I really am is I'm Krishna's employee. These other things are all external. Renunciation, making money. All I think about is how do I please Krishna? He's my boss. How do I make Krishna smile? Then everything I'm doing becomes my service to Krishna. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says, no matter how great the material affairs, they won't affect me. I won't be a materialist. Because really, I'll be Krishna's employee just trying to satisfy him. Wouldn't that be nice? Please don't be afraid. Please don't be afraid. Please don't think, if I stop trying to please my husband, I won't care anymore if I just try to please Krishna. No, know, if I try to please Krishna, Krishna wants me to serve my husband nicely. I'll be a better wife. If you're trying to please your husband and his favorite dish is pizza, so you make pizza on Monday and he says thank you, and then you make pizza on Tuesday and he says, oh, 2 days in a row. Then you become so disappointed. Oh, I'm never going to make pizza again. He doesn't appreciate me. But if you're doing it to please Krishna, it doesn't matter. You say, Krishna, I did this to please you. And Krishna says, well done, good and faithful servant. And then we're free. And then we're going to do our service nicely in any condition. Then we have real determination. One of my favorite quotes from Srila Prabhupada, this letter to Jayapataka Maharaj. The secret of surrendering to Krishna is that every surrendered devotee sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. Jai Sri Siddhartha, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Whatever is meant to be, I am doing. Now this may sound like some kind of new agey thing. Oh, we're always in the right place, but we are. If you're under the laws of karma, you're always in the right place for your karma. And if you're Krishna's employee, don't you think he's going to put you in the right place with the right people? He doesn't make mistakes. Once you say, Krishna, I'm your employee, I'm surrendered unto you, he's always going to put you in the right place with the right people doing the right thing. Let me do it with my full attention to every detail. Let me become absorbed in such service, never mind what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's cleaning the dishes or changing your baby's diaper or, you know, negotiating some huge multinational deal. Let all other considerations be forgotten, and only my desire to do the best for Krishna's alone pleasure is my motive. What am I trying to do here with the multinational deal or with changing a diaper? I'm trying to get Krishna to smile and say, well done, good and faithful servant. All right. The third area we're going to look at is living a pure life, having resilience to the pressures to do things opposed to Krishna consciousness. Well, this is the main way to do that, is to have the real taste. Right? So there's service in this world. I'm sorry, somehow the way this did on my computer, I lost my laser pointer anyway. So I can't, you have to just kind of look. Well, you see over there? Let's see. Oh, the way up there is the servant and the one in awe, and then a little higher is the awe and the servant and the service and the friendship and the friendship and the parental and the parental. And they're romantic, and they're romantic. Do you see that?
Yeah.
See the mirror?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So how are we going to get detached from the material? We have to taste the spiritual. We have to experience some rasa with Krishna. That doesn't mean you artificially say you're a gopi before you're self-realized. But there should be some emotion and desire connected with Krishna. We should be getting some taste from Krishna consciousness. Something. Srila Prabhupada talks here about three categories of duties. Ordinary, emergency, and desired. Ordinary is we should be working according to our nature in some means of livelihood and according to the life cycle. That's according to Varna and Ashrama. We have our ordinary duties. Emergency work should be rare and for emergencies. If you're living life like an emergency, you need to do something about that. And then there's desired activities. Desired activities we can think of like hobbies. Have a Krishna conscious hobby. What was Srila Prabhupada's Krishna conscious hobby? Do any of you know? No, not his books. That was his main service. Yeah, kirtan, bhajan. Prabhupada said whenever there wasn't anything to do, he would sit down with the harmonium, the mridanga, and sing bhajans. Have a Krishna conscious hobby. Maybe it's decorating your altar with flowers, sewing things for the deities, making a garden, whatever. Find some Krishna conscious hobby, writing a blog on the internet. Then Krishna also says that yogis are temperate in eating, sleeping, working, and recreation. Sometimes devotees think that if you're a really serious devotee, you don't have any recreation. But Krishna says you have to have balanced recreation. I don't know if you've discovered this, but if you try to deny yourself recreation, you'll take it anyway. Have you noticed this? Okay, it's like if you try not to sleep, you'll eventually just fall asleep. So if you say, well, I'm not going to do anything for recreation, you'll end up doing a recreation that just wastes time. Have you noticed this? And doesn't really recreate. So better to plan to have some recreation time, something that's rejuvenating time. That's Krishna conscious. That's related to Krishna. Then one way to be free from negative influences is have lots of devotees in your life. That's why we have this temple. But you can get together besides just the temple. You know, have regular sanghas with devotees, physically, electronically, however you can do it. One thing that's really helpful in my own life is I have some ongoing electronic sanghas with devotees, where we share what we're reading in Shastra, we're sharing our realization, and it's one of the most enlivening things in life. If at work people insist that you do sinful things, make up some excuse. You know, I'm allergic to alcohol or whatever you have to do. If you're in an occupation that is involved in sin, please find another occupation. If you're involved in some occupation directly related to illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, or gambling, please find another occupation. And you may say, well, what will I do? How will I live? So here's a wonderful quote from Srila Prabhupada. The source of our income is not actually the source of our maintenance. Every living being, from the great Brahma down to an insignificant ant, is being maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Eko bhagunam yo vidadanti kama. Our so-called source of income is our own choice only. This is from the story of Magrari the hunter. And he made his living by selling leather and fur. But he didn't just kill the animals. He half-killed them and let them die very gradually in great pain. And Narada said to him, you're getting very bad karma for this. And Magrari became a little frightened, and he said, how can I mitigate this karma? Narada said, I'll tell you if you first break your bow. And Magrari said, well, that's my source of livelihood. Narada said, don't worry, I'll take care of you. Break your bow. And Prabhupada says here in this purport, our income is coming from God, and we're having a standard of living according to destiny. Prabhupada said, if you want to have your income by a brahmana, Krishna will maintain you that way. If you want to have income as a hunter, Krishna will maintain you that way. We are not dependent on a particular kind of occupation for our maintenance. Our maintenance is coming from God according to how charitable we have been in this life and in previous lives. Krishna has seen how we used our wealth in this life and in previous lives, and according to that, we are being maintained. So we shouldn't be afraid. Go to an occupation that doesn't involve sin. All right, we're going to look at priorities and time management. You know, what is our life for? We're so busy with so many things that are so important. But most of the things that we think are so important are also done by the animals. Getting food, how much time do we spend every day? Just getting food, earning the money for food, cooking, eating, preparing, cleaning up, sleeping, arrangements for sleeping. Can we spend some time for the real goal of life? This is also a really heavy thing. Depending on where I am in the world, sometimes this is a really heavy thing. 8 hours is enough. Not only should we have an occupation that doesn't involve sin, we should only work at it for 8 hours. To be satisfied with whatever I can earn with an honest livelihood in 8 hours. Well, then I won't earn enough money. For what? Do we all have to live in a mansion? If we're working so many hours, you don't even know you're living in the mansion because you're never there. Who cares when you're sleeping? When you're sleeping, you don't even know where you're sleeping. I mean, I've seen people, they work so many hours, they're never in their beautiful 10-bedroom house. They never spend any time with their beautiful lawn. They just mow it or pay someone to mow it. You know, our happiness is already predestined. if you earned a little less money and were happier? Would that make a little bit more sense? We're not going to change our happiness and distress. If we work more and more to earn more, you'll simply enjoy it less and less. Happiness isn't just dependent on how much cash that you have. And these will come anyway. Be satisfied with what one can earn in honest labor 8 hours a day. And if you're living in a house, don't try to have a temple program for sadhana. We talked about this the other day at the ladies' sangha. You know, we may think that having Krishna conscious sadhana means 4:30 in the morning till 9:30 in the morning. And you know, when Prabhupada was here, we lived in the temples, it was another 2 hours in the evening. That's 7 hours. How many people can do 7 hours of sadhana if you have school or job and family? Is that going to be very practical? And people will think, well, if I can't do 7 hours, I can't do anything. And I've heard, I mean, I'm going to be honest here. You know, I've heard some of our preachers in the renounced order who've never been householders and never had jobs and never had kids say, well, the way you should chant is you sit down and chant all your 16 rounds at one time, and if you don't do that, it's all nonsense. And I said, well, you've obviously never had a one-year-old child in your house. The mother said, well, I'm just going to sit down and chant 16 rounds without stopping. I'm not going to open my eyes. When she did open her eyes, she wouldn't see something very fine. Yes? Any of you have young children? Prabhupada talked about when he was a grihastha, he chanted his 16 rounds in 4 increments. Find ways of having regular sadhana in your life that work with your schedule and your life. You can't just copy-paste from someone else's situation into your situation. You know, well, this person wakes up at 2 in the morning and chants 35 rounds before they go to work, but maybe that's not going to work for you. Do what's going to work in your life. Doing something that works in your life is much better than copying and failing something from someone else's life. And be creative. You know, nowadays with modern technology, you can get all of Prabhupada's books on audiobooks, and we're very blessed that we all understand English. Because all of Srila Prabhupada's books are available as audiobooks in English, and very few of them are available as audiobooks in other languages. You can be hearing Srila Prabhupada's books in the car, on the train, while you're washing the dishes, while you're ironing the clothes. You know, I know of devotees who practically memorize Prabhupada's books just by listening to them as audiobooks. You can listen to Prabhupada's lectures while you're taking a shower in the morning. You know, you can have Prabhupada's books on your phone. You can read one page before breakfast, one before lunch, one before dinner. Nobody at work will think it's strange if you pull out your phone and read some. Oh, excuse me one second, I have something important. Right? And little drops of water wear away stone. One screen on your phone before each meal, and pretty soon you've read all of Prabhupada's books. Be creative, be flexible. Find ways that you can integrate hearing, chanting, worship into your life. And different solutions at different times. The way you do your sadhana when you're 20 may not be the same as the way you do it when you're 30. The way you do it when you have no children, when you have little children, when your children grow up. When you have this kind of job, that kind of job. Not only what works for someone else, what works for you may be different at different times. And do something that's spiritually enlivening for you. Prabhupada gave us our minimum 16 rounds, artik every day, etc. But find something in Krishna consciousness that you really enjoy. And I give this example a lot. I met one girl who said, I just never get a chance to read Prabhupada's books. I said, why not? She said, well, first I have to read the Bhagavad Gita, then the Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita. I said, yeah, okay. She said, but I never liked the Bhagavad Gita. So are there any of Prabhupada's books that you like? She said, well, I love the Nectar Devotion. I said, well, why don't you read that? She said, well, I thought I had to read everything else first. I said, are you reading anything? She said, no, I'm reading nothing. So find what's enlivening for you. Maybe what you really love is, you know, making flower garlands. Maybe what you really love is learning songs. Maybe you really love memorizing verses. find some aspect of Krishna consciousness. There's 64 angas of bhakti given in the nectar devotion, and of those 64, many of them have sub and sub-sub areas. Find something you love. Maybe it's going on pilgrimage. You know, the family I'm staying with right now in Queens, when the father comes home at night, you know what he does? He turns on Mayapur TV and he watches Mangal Arati in Mayapur. This is his nightly ritual. He watches Mangal Arati and Didi greeting. If he comes home a little later, he watches Didi greeting in Mayapur pretty much every night. And I said to him, "You must really like Mayapur." He says, "Oh yeah." I said, "Have you ever been to Mayapur?" He said, "No." But that's what he loves. Do you all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Find something in devotional service that you love. When you find something you love, you'll do it every day. Nobody will have to tell you to do it. You won't have to feel guilty about doing it. You won't have to schedule it. You'll naturally do it. Okay, now hopefully, because somehow this opened up a different way of PowerPoint, so hopefully this is going to work. This is the first time I've used this in this presentation, and I don't have it set up in the way it usually is, so just say a prayer to the gods of technology here. Will this work? No, it didn't work. Oh. I did it just for you guys and it didn't work. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, well, it was a nice video that I can't show you. Sorry about that. So we'll just talk about it. I looked for videos for years for this and I found one and put it in the presentation and then it doesn't work. All right, for sure. So, there's a system that if you see it, it's cooler than if you don't see it. If you take a cup and you have rocks and pebbles and sand, if you try to put the sand in first, you won't be able to fit in the pebbles and the rocks. If you put in the pebbles first, you'll be able to put in the sand but not the rocks. And if you put in the rocks first, you can put in the pebbles and the sand. You know, often the reason we don't have time for Krishna is we say, "I have so many other important things to do. I'll get to Krishna later. I'll do these things, these things, these things, and then I'll get to Krishna." And it gets to be 8:30 at night and you still haven't gotten to Krishna. "Well, I'll get to Krishna tomorrow." My dear friends, put Krishna first. So I ask this all over the world. How many of you know all the names of your great-great-grandparents? How many of you? All the names of your great-great. Well, my oh my. Couple of you. This means that our great-great-grandchildren will not know our names. That's the grandchildren of your grandchildren. They will not know our names. That's our own family. What to speak of all these important things that we are doing. When we die, there's going to be a few sentences in the newspaper. Funerals at 2 o'clock, survived by, worked as a mechanic. That's it. Maybe there'll be a feast at the temple and people will have an excuse to have gulab jamuns. You know, I was at a devotee's house where in one room they had a little picture of some family member who had died. It said, "Always in our thoughts." And I thought, I bet you it's not always in our thoughts. But you can try even right now. You know, try tonight. Find someone who really loves you, really genuinely cares about you, and say, "Would you listen to me for 1 hour while I tell you everything I did today?" What do you think? But it's all so important. Do you ever notice when you get sick that the world goes on? But all this stuff is so important that I can't have any time for Krishna. When I used to have a physical inbox, I noticed that every once in a while, 2-3 times a year, I'd go through the whole thing and I noticed that some stuff would expire before I got to it. And you know, the world went on. But all these things are so important. Put Krishna first. That's what's important. We're an eternal being. We have an eternal relationship with Krishna. That's what's important. Put Krishna first. If you put Krishna first, you know what? There'll still be time for everything that you need to do. Some things will never get done, but you know they're never going to get done anyway. And if we're so attached to doing them, we just have to come back next life to do them. Put Krishna first. All right, little summary. How do we have transcendental consciousness anywhere? Think about Krishna as he describes in the Gita as heat, as light, as our ability. Meditate on Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. See our life as service, that we're Krishna's employee and everything we're doing is our cover, that we're really, really trying to spread love of God. We take care of everything as our service to him, doing all details nicely to please him. We get rid of temptations by having a higher taste, devotee association, doing things we enjoy in Krishna's service, recreation in Krishna's service, and if necessary, changing our occupation. To have enough time, we are satisfied with what we earned in 8 hours, we put Krishna first, we be creative, and we find solutions that work for us. So I want to thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's already 5 to 8. Do we have time for questions or no? I think it's a little late. We're out of time. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Bol from Madhur Mila.
Hare Bol.
And we pray that she can come here repeatedly and give us more enlightenment. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Urmila Mataji ki
jai.
That's really, really wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it's heart-touching and practical all at once.
Thank you.